What's up, fools? This episode of the podcast is brought to you by VPN.com. Do you use Facebook, Instagram, or WhatsApp? More than 2 billion people do. Unfortunately, the recent Cambridge Analytica data scandal has brought many issues to light about how Facebook uses your data and informs you when an issue arises. Since 2014, more than 2 billion Facebook profiles, like yours and mine, were scrapped by third parties without our permission on Facebook and then maliciously used against us. Thankfully, there are many efforts out there taking a stand for our privacy and how big companies respect our data. Organizations like VPN.com have created campaigns entirely around Delete Facebook, that's hashtag Delete Facebook, to bring awareness to the reality of how our data is being used. In fact, they sent six huge hashtag Delete Facebook box trucks to the U.S. Capitol and Facebook headquarters, along with arranging multiple protests to advocate for more privacy and protection for consumers all across the world. To learn more about how to delete your Facebook or to keep up with the protests, visit vpn.com/Facebook today. That is VPN, Victor, Paul, Nancy, vpn.com/Facebook today. All right, there are numerous things I want to talk about today. There's been some news that has come out here at the end of the day that I want to address and at least do a little bit of analysis on. Not really analysis, but we'll talk about it. And by talk about it, I mean I'll talk about it and you'll listen. And I will do that. And then I will talk about this woman who put out a tweet a couple days ago after Barbara Bush died and basically calling her a racist and saying fuck her and all this stuff and whatever. So I want to talk about those two things today. That's the two topics for today's podcast. But the first thing is the market jumped today about maybe 5 minutes before the close or 10 minutes before the close. The S&P futures got a little bit of a boost. I think they were bid up like 5 or 10 handles right off the bat, and I was trying to find the headline, and I have found it now that it is 30 minutes after the market's closed. And the headline is that President Trump has apparently been told not only that he is not a target in the Cohen investigation, but that he's not a target in the Mueller investigation altogether. Now, this seems a little interesting, a little weird, and I want to kind of review several scenarios that I thought of immediately as to what this could possibly mean. Of course, to hear that he's not a target in the Cohen investigation makes some sense, because the Cohen investigation supposedly, and I don't really, you know, I don't really understand the dynamics of this. I did a whole podcast on it a couple weeks ago. I just understand the basics. I don't understand the details, the nuances. But supposedly, you know, Cohen is being investigated as to whether or not he illegally paid off Stormy Daniels during election season. And it was not put down as a campaign contribution as it should have been. And if that's the case, and that's what this is about, then I can't help but believe that while the case is still open, Trump would still kind of have to be a party to it to some degree. I mean, if the case is ongoing and, you know, the left is basically screaming that it's a violation of campaign contribution rules, which it very well may be. We won't know until the result comes out, which is a felony. So everybody that's looking for a worst case scenario is looking for a felony. We know that Trump's line has been that he didn't communicate directly with Michael Cohen about it, and that Michael Cohen kind of acted on his behalf, but did so without his knowledge. Now, what I surmised in my last podcast about this was that, of course, Trump had to know about it. Of course he had to know about it. I mean, to think that he didn't know about it is ridiculous. No lawyer is just going to go out and pay off a porn star $130,000 because, you know, you're just great friends with your client. It just doesn't work that way. So, of course, he knew about it. But whether or not anybody can prove that he knew about it is a whole other story. And if there's no documentation, if there's no emails, if there's no nothing that's correspondence between Trump and his lawyer about it, it's going to be very difficult to prove that Trump was complicit or that he was involved. And, you know, people that partake in this type of fuckery with, you know, doing these little end arounds with their lawyers and stuff, they generally know that they shouldn't be talking about the stuff or putting it down in any type of medium that can be subpoenaed or traced or anything like that. These are the discussions that go on at the fancy steakhouses, you know, when you see two extremely rich people get the back booth and they're sitting there quietly whispering into one another's ears. This is the shit that they're talking about. They go out, they do it in public, they do it somewhere that they know isn't bugged, and they certainly don't put anything down in writing. You know, a while back, Trump was asked about email, and he's like, I don't even have email.
I don't even have a computer, folks. I just get things done. That's all I do. I make a lot of phone calls.
You know, and they showed his desk at one point, and there was no computer on it. You know, he said something like,
I let the children handle most of the emails and the internet-based stuff. You know, I'm more of a big thinker, more of a, I do more of the bird's eye view thinking.
It's like, okay, so we don't have to worry about him having any emails. Phone records, who knows, that's another thing, right? I don't even know if he has a cell phone. I guess he does if he's tweeting at all hours of the night, but, you know, Trump's been around a long time, and whether you love him or hate him or anything in between, you probably would have to agree that he knows how to play the game of how to communicate without implicating yourself probably pretty well. It remains to be seen, of course. You know, Mueller could come out with something tonight that makes this whole podcast irrelevant and makes me look like an imbecile. But you would kind of expect that Trump knows how to perform these end-arounds and keep things quiet and keep things under the radar. So, in the case of the Michael Cohen investigation, I don't understand how that investigation can still be open and him really not still be a party to it, aside from, you know, unless Mueller has already gone through all of that shit that he got from Cohen's office and it's been determined that there's no way Trump could have known. I don't think that all that has happened so far, and I don't think that, and actually, what Fox News is reporting is that Rod Rosenstein told President Trump last week that the president is not a target in the Cohen investigation, which means that none of the stuff that was seized from Cohen's office probably really had a chance to be reviewed at length. And so it would kind of be difficult to assume that this is him getting off scot-free here. If it's true what Rosenstein is telling him, and he's not just trying to, you know, fuck with him and get him to do something stupid, which is another scenario you could think of. But if this is true and this is what Rosenstein told him, I'm assuming that could change if, you know, the seized documents from Michael Cohen's office and from Michael Cohen's home turn out to have something that could implicate Trump. Who knows? The point is, this whole thing with Stormy Daniels is really getting annoying. It was annoying a couple weeks ago when I talked about it, and it's really annoying now, especially because since the time I did the last podcast, she has agreed to do another penthouse photo shoot and another tell-all interview. The first one with Anderson Cooper really didn't tell much at all. It was more like a tell-nothing interview, and she agreed to do another one of those, and she agreed to do a penthouse photo shoot, so she is trying to cash in. There is no doubt, there should be no doubt in anybody's mind. If you're on the left or you hate Donald Trump and you can't see that this woman is doing this for money, then you have blinders on and you need to readjust your objectivity calibration. And I'm not taking a shot at people on the left. I'm just saying, if you hate him so much that you can't see that this woman is doing this for the money, then maybe you're not looking at it entirely objectively. Because that's really what's going on here. The fact that she's doing a penthouse magazine spread, or just agreed to do that, and she is going to be doing another quote-unquote tell-all interview. I mean, what else could there be for her to tell between the last interview she did with Anderson Cooper, which pretty much described everything in detail? What else is there to tell? You know, what she had for lunch between then and now, each day, you know? I don't understand what else there is to tell. There's a tell-all interview. The first one was a tell-nothing interview. unless she comes out and she's like, oh yeah, I just remembered something I didn't say in the CNN interview. Either way, it's a bunch of fuckery on her part. It's a bunch of bullshit. She is, this woman is looking to get paid. If she wasn't looking to get paid, she wouldn't have slept with this guy to begin with. Nobody goes out and sleeps with a overweight 60-year-old man when they're a 28-year-old woman for, you know, reasons, 99 times out of 100 for reasons other than he has money. You know, women weren't dating Hugh Hefner because he had a sexy body. Maybe he did in his early years. But when I saw him, previous to him, I didn't see him in person, but when I saw him on TV, you know, with these two Playboy bunnies that he was dating, or six, or however many girlfriends he had, you know, and he was 70 years old. Guy was in good shape, actually. He was still in pretty good shape, getting around good, still rocking that robe. But they weren't dating him because of his looks. Now, they always come on and they say that, well, he's got a lot of confidence, and confidence is even sexier than looks. Yeah, okay. All right, but, you know, you have to think very hard about that confidence when you're in bed with a guy who's 75 years old, or however old he is. You have to just close your eyes and think about confidence, because if you open them, you're still going to be in bed with a guy that's 75 years old. So these women go after these men because they want money, you know, and I'm sure that there's men that do the same thing to older women as well, so it's not a gender thing. In this situation, Stormy Daniels happens to be a 28-year-old porn star, and Donald Trump happens to be a 60-year-old billionaire. Neither one of them are aesthetically pleasing to me, neither then nor now, but we know the dynamic that was at play here. So the second part of this Fox News report that came out today stated, interestingly enough, and I will read it to you, President Trump already has been told he is not a target of the Mueller investigation, according to previous reports. So that's interesting. Underneath the Cohen investigation, it also says that he's not a target of the Mueller investigation. So one of two things are going on here. One is he's not a target of the Mueller investigation, and we should expect this thing to wrap up relatively soon. And that would be it. You know, you're off the hook, Don. Or somebody is putting this in his ear to kind of get him off guard, or to make him think that he is not party to the investigation in hopes that he'll slip up and say something stupid, or that he might get comfortable and do something dumb. Who knows? But it's very interesting that both of these things are being reported today. Now, you have to consider the source. Again, I try not to be partisan at all. As a libertarian, I feel like it's a little bit easier to try and take the objective high ground. The source of this is Fox News. I think earlier was reported on a different news wire, but I didn't catch the source. But the source of the most latest report that I'm reading is Fox News. So, and Fox News is citing a source familiar with the investigation and previous reports, and those I don't have the source for. So we'll have to see what happens here. Either way, the market liked it at the end of the day today. The S&P futures were up 5 or 10 handles just on this. They faded a little bit. I think they're still dancing around that 2,700 level, which is a key point of resistance and key point of support if you want to look at things from a technical level. Either way, it feels like we are in the late innings of the Mueller happenings. To me, that's what it feels like. I'm not a political insider, nor do I have any legal experience. But to me, it feels like we're in the late innings of this thing. So I'm looking forward to hearing what transpires. I know that people on both sides of the aisle that I've talked to are satisfied with Mueller as being the guy. I know that I've agreed to respect the outcome of Mueller's investigation. I said that from the very beginning. I think there was bipartisan agreement that he was a good guy to do this investigation. And we'll have to see what he comes up with. And if it's nothing, then he comes up with nothing. And if it's something, then we'll have that discussion then too. I'll respect whatever Mueller comes out with. I'm not going to be one of these guys that goes and rages on him. Although, he does kind of leave me asking the question of, if the Cohen investigation isn't about Trump and this Mueller investigation is done with Trump, then what is it going to focus on? And I guess you could make the argument that it could focus on his legal team. So, or not his legal team, rather, his administration. I mean, we know that certain members of the Trump administration had taken meetings with members of the Russian government. So maybe it's about that. Maybe we'll find out that, you know, a Kushner or a Flynn or one of these other guys could be the one that winds up bearing the criminal consequences. But the road that leads to Trump being implicated in an impeachment or, you know, as the left was calling for, treason, I don't know. I just don't see them as likely unless something changes. And, you know, as I say every podcast, well, have two drinks before you listen, but I also say I could be wrong, and often I am wrong. So it's worth kind of just seeing where this thing goes. And the second thing that I want to talk about is this awful woman who made this comment about Barbara Bush shortly after she died, calling her, this is a professor at Fresno State University, who decided that after Barbara Bush passed away, she was going to exercise her right to free speech and weigh in on the situation by calling Barbara Bush a racist and a woman who raised a warmonger. Now, without the politics of those statements and trying to discuss the merits of them, it's not a very classy thing to do, and it's a bit distasteful. And the problem is, this is not something I would normally get involved with. This is kind of like TMZ shit, you know, so-and-so said something about somebody else on Twitter, and it's really not what I want this podcast to be about. I want it to be, you know, certainly I want it to be about the market. I do want it to have some social commentary as well, and some political commentary. And it's not normally something that I would cover, nor do I think it's something that listeners are really interested in for the most part. Having said that, it is my podcast, and I make the damn rules. So, and I do, again, I want things to be flexible. I want to be able to talk about anything and everything. I have some interviews that I'm trying to line up that have nothing to do with the stock market. There's just some interesting fucking people I want to talk to. And really, when I set out to do this podcast, the goal was just to do whatever I wanted to do. So that's what I'm going to do. And in the case of today, it is discussed this Fresno State professor who went on Twitter and made some really nasty remarks about Barbara Bush after she died. And I'm going to read actually from the Washington Post, since I cited Fox News at the beginning of the podcast. Let's cite the Washington Post here, and we'll give this woman the benefit of the doubt here. And let's just read what they said today. In the hours after Barbara Bush died Tuesday, even those who didn't share the former First Lady's political views expressed their condolences and recounted warm memories of the Bush family matriarch. Former President Bill Clinton, the man who once campaigned against her husband, called Bush a remarkable woman with grit and grace, brains and beauty. Another former president, Barack Obama, said she had humility and decency that reflects the very best of the American spirit. But a creative writing professor at California State University at Fresno had a blunt message for those offering up fond remembrances. And this is what this woman tweeted. Quote, Barbara Bush was a generous and smart and amazing racist who, along with her husband, raised a war criminal. Randa Girard wrote on Tuesday... Sorry, I've been drinking scotch since 8 o'clock this morning. Randa Girard wrote Tuesday night on Twitter, according to the Fresno Bee. In another tweet, the professor wrote, quote, I'm happy the witch is dead. Can't wait for the rest of her family to fall to their demise the way 1.5 million Iraqis have. Bye. The article continues, Girard's words and others that she used as she argued with critics for hours during an overnight tweet storm sparked a backlash that would soon prompt the university to distance itself from her remarks. School officials also said they were reviewing the tenured professor's position. More than 2,000 people had replied to Girard before she made her Twitter account private, the Bee reported. Some were upset at what they viewed as her incivility about a woman widely regarded as genteel. For others, the sin was more basic. She had spoken ill of the dead. Gerard pointed to the comments as an example of, quote, what it's like to be an Arab-American, Muslim-American woman with some clout online expressing an opinion. Look at the racists going crazy in my mentions right now, she tweeted. The professor taunted those attacking her, sharing a contact number that was that of an Arizona State University suicide hotline, and she said she was a tenured professor who makes $100,000 a year. I will never be fired, she tweeted. Enraged, some people tagged Fresno State and the institution's president, Joseph Castro, demanding that the professor be fired. Gerard laughed at them. Quote, LOL, let me help you. You should tag my president, Joseph Castro. What I love about being an American professor is my right to free speech, and what I love about Fresno State is that I always feel protected and at home here, Gerard wrote. Go Bulldogs! What an asshole. Oh, my God. She finishes off by writing, Go Bulldogs, like she's debating the NCAA tournament, and she's no longer talking about this dead woman. Okay, the article continues. On Wednesday, Castro told the Bee that Gerard's comments were, quote, beyond free speech. This was disrespectful. Quote, a professor with tenure does not have blanket protection to say and do what they wish, he said. We are all held accountable for our actions. Gerard is on leave of absence and is not teaching any courses on campus during the current semester, a university spokesman told some news, the Visalia Times Delta on Wednesday, whatever the fuck that is. And then the article continues, blah, 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 goes back, replays the entire beginning of the incident, Bush made statements, blah, 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 blah. Next Wednesday, the contact page on Gerard's website said, quote, I do not read or respond to messages about Barbara Bush, quote. Next to the message was a heart emoji. But Gerard did return to Twitter briefly Wednesday, according to the Bee. Quote, I'm still fabulous. Thanks for checking in. Love to all of you who have sent support, quote, she tweeted. Her account was still set to private as of Thursday morning. Okay, so let's just talk about this because I got a lot of things that I want to say. And I want to try and make it brief because I'm not trying to turn this podcast into an episode of TMZ. But on the other hand, fuck this woman. Okay, first, let's start off by just saying I support this woman's right to free speech. Okay, I am banking on free speech being a rock solid mainstay and foundation of everything that I do. It comes into play when I write critically about companies that I don't agree with. It comes into play when I do my podcast and I voice my opinion on things. Free speech is the bedrock with which the country is built upon. And as I've said before privately, I don't know if I've said on the podcast, but I agree with the notion that free speech is there to protect unpopular opinion. Nobody needs free speech to come out and protect their right to tweet about who they think is going to win Dancing with the Stars, right? First off, it's innocuous. Second off, nobody cares. Nobody should care, at least. I certainly don't care. The point of the matter is, that's not what it's there for. It's there for unpopular opinion. And you can think about that any way you want. This woman's tweet was very distasteful and stupid. And does it make her a complete and total fuckhead? Yeah, sure, it does. But on the other hand, you know, she's within her rights to say it. Doesn't mean you have to like it. Doesn't mean I have to like it. I think that this woman saying this after Barbara Bush has died is really disrespectful, but that's okay. Again, free speech. She's allowed to be disrespectful, but very distasteful. And, you know, I don't want to say that it's... What I'll say is I don't like it when people come out and talk about other people when they can be defenseless. And in this case, Barbara Bush is not going to be able to... Not that Barbara Bush would ever give a shit about this woman at all, nor would she respond, nor would any family member of hers respond. I don't think any of them have. If they do, they're ridiculous because, you know, this woman who calls herself somebody with credibility and somebody with clout, you know, who nobody had ever fucking heard of before this happened, by the way. She's got so much clout, nobody's ever heard of her. You guys are just afraid of somebody with clout. Yeah, that's the problem. We're shaking in our boots over your opinion, okay? And I feel like I can talk shit about this woman being a creative writing professor because I was an English major. And I took creative writing classes. But give me a break, all right? Like she's Ayn Rand. She's writing Atlas Shrugged. She's going to make some big generational impact here. She's going to be like Colin Kaepernick kneeling for the national anthem, starting a movement with this. I don't think so, folks. You're not starting a movement. To go after Barbara Bush after she's died, okay, is not how you start a movement. And I know that this woman, I don't think that she... to be honest with you, I was going to say, I don't think she expected it to get this big. But on the other hand, if she considered herself, in her defense, as a woman with some clout and some credibility and all this horse shit before she said it, then she should have known that this is what possibly could have come of it. And now she's a national news headline, and the whole world has to look at her picture and read about what she did. And she's got the option to shut down her Twitter account or make it a protected account, which she did, and, you know, put this thing up afterwards. Like she's taking the, all of a sudden taking the moral high ground, and that she, you know, was just exercising her rights. She said at the end, "I do not read or respond to messages about Barbara Bush. I don't even know why you guys would think that I would do that." You know? I don't even know why you guys would think that I would read or respond to messages about Barbara Bush just because I put out one tweet that called Barbara Bush a racist, you know, 12 hours after she died. I don't know why you guys would think that. I'm a person of clout. I'm a professor. I've got an opinion. Look, everybody, I've got an opinion on something. Woohoo! Magical. But, you know, look, this, again, I'll support this woman's right to say it. I believe in free speech. I believe in people's right to say whatever they want. It's, again, it's there for the unpopular opinion. It's there for Alex Jones. It's there for people that ideologically you probably don't agree with. It's there so that we can hear all angles of every side of every story, as nasty and horrible as they are sometimes. But what's important is, you know, maybe one out of 1,000 or one out of 10,000 or one out of 100,000 instances, the person with the horrifying negative opinion or the off-the-wall conspiracy theory or the thing that nobody would ever else have the balls to talk about is going to be right. And that's why it's important that we respect their right to free speech. That's why I don't really have any trouble with this woman saying it. I don't have any problem with her getting on Twitter and saying whatever she wants. I do have a question about her tweeting out the suicide helpline from Arizona State for people that were upset. I feel like this woman who called Barbara Bush a racist, and also who, by the way, wrote an article in 2014 called, wait till you hear this too. I just tweeted it out, but I want to make sure I get it right. This woman who called Barbara Bush a racist wrote an article in 2014 for Salon.com. And it was called Why I Can't Stand White Belly Dancers. Now, to me, that sounds a little racist. I don't know. Could it be possible that the woman who is lobbing the allegations of being racist may have made some racist statements? It's like the guy in Boondock Saints says, "Ah, you know what they say, people in glass houses sink ships." When you point the finger, three more point back at you. I don't want to go in on this woman too much, but I do want to do one for Barbara Bush, who, you know, can't stand up to this woman herself right now. And I don't know really shit about Barbara Bush, except I know in the 80s she was like one of the first Republicans to come out as pro-choice, I think, and that she stood for literacy. That was her big cause as first lady. I was alive, but I wasn't really lucid during that presidency. I was, you know, more worried about Lincoln Logs or whatever I was playing with at the time. But her cause was literacy. Meanwhile, this idiot's job is a creative writing professor. And instead of being like, oh, thanks for, you know, everything you tried to advocate for literacy, she's like, yeah, you're a racist and you raised a warmonger and I'm tenured. Oh, and I make $100,000 a year. I'm tenured and I make $100,000 a year. Aren't you guys so impressed? Aren't all my podcast listeners impressed? She's tenured. Oh, she got tenured. She must be a genius at, of course, the Ivy League institution, Fresno State University. I don't have any beef with Fresno State, but, you know, it seems like that kind of place where you just hear, oh, dude, man, we can't go surfing today because I've got creative writing class, dude. Oh, the waves are fucking killer, though, man. Look, I don't have any beef with Fresno State at all for how they handled this. I think that the guy's statement about this being distasteful and all that shit is fine. And I respect the woman's right to say whatever she wants. And I also respect the fact that her dialogue outside of work should not, you know, really have anything to do with her at work. I mean, she's not disrespecting a coworker and she's not doing anything that is precluding her from teaching people how to write haikus. And so I don't really see what the big deal is. If Fresno State wants to leave her alone, that's fine. I won't be enrolling my children there anytime soon. And, you know, you can form your own opinion on this. If you think Fresno State looks like assholes for not doing anything, that's fine. There'll be people that think that, and there will be people that support this woman's right to say whatever she wants. Look at me, everybody. I've got an opinion. Oh, I've got an opinion, and it's so important. I'm so smart that I make $100,000 a year. They gave me tenure. They gave me tenure, and I've been published. Yeah, on Salon.com. I love this line again. Gerard pointed to the comments as an example of, quote, what it's like to be an Arab-American, Muslim-American woman with some clout online expressing an opinion. I like that. I like a nice, humble statement like that, you know? Oh, the problem is I've got so much clout that, you know, my opinion is naturally going to send shockwaves across the universe when I say something. Just the other day, I had chicken fingers for lunch, and I tweeted about it, and you wouldn't believe the people were going crazy. Oh, people from both sides of the aisle. What kind of sauce did you use? How could you possibly eat chicken fingers for lunch? That's a dinner meal. I've got so much clout. That's the problem. She's too popular. That's why I guarantee you, it doesn't matter what you're doing right now, what day of the week it is, who you are, I guarantee you, if you're listening to this podcast, you've never heard of this woman before this happened. No clue. And now that she gets some quote-unquote clout, now that everybody wants to ask her follow-up questions, like, hey, what the fuck were you thinking when you put that up there? She locks her Twitter account and puts something on her website, says, well, I don't want to answer questions. I don't understand. You know, I make one little statement about Barbara Bush, and then all of a sudden, everybody wants to ask me questions about Barbara Bush. I made a public statement. I'm not answering any questions about the Barbara Bush statement. I've said what I've said, and I'm a woman of clout, and I'm very popular, okay? So you guys are just going to have to deal with it. You're just going to have to deal with the fact that I'm so popular that everything that I say is going to be a huge deal from this point on. Give me a break. Give me a break. Can you imagine being this woman's boss? When she tweets out, I will never be fired. Can you imagine being the guy that gave this woman tenure? Talk about not only disrespecting Barbara Bush, but how about disrespecting the place that you work for? They give you tenure at $100,000 a year, which apparently this woman thinks is a lot of money. And she tweets out, I will never be fired. Let me help you. You should tag my president, Joseph Castro. What I love about being an American professor is my right to free speech. And what I love about Fresno State is that I always feel protected and at home here. You don't think there's some campus security officials right now that are like, you know, you know who I'm talking about, guys that didn't make it through the police academy that became campus security. Not to make a generalization about police officers, but they have a tendency to be on the right side of the aisle. Reading this, who are, you know, Bush voters that love hearing this woman say, I always feel protected and at home here. They're probably like, what's going to happen when the alarm goes off in her classroom and she's got to call one of them? I've got a problem. I've got a problem. Somebody's in my class and they're yelling at me. They're probably like, oh, yeah, we'll be right over. We'll be right there. We got a couple things we got to check on first. Of course, we have to do our daily walk of the campus, and I've got some incident reports I've got to fill out. And then, of course, 30 minutes for lunch. I'll be back. A couple more incident reports. Don't worry. We'll send somebody over in a couple minutes. Go Bulldogs, she put at the end. Go Bulldogs. And then we've got some other fine Americans exercising their free speech. The rating on her Amazon.com page for her books took a precipitous drop after they received a slew of bad reviews in the wake of her comments. Quote, prosaic, poorly written, poor grammar, incoherent, one reviewer said. Quote, will make for expensive toilet paper. Quote. Oh, goodness. So what is the point of all of this? The point of all of this is I respect her right to say it, and I respect Fresno State's decision not to do anything about it. Matter of fact, I think it's probably the right decision. They came out, they said it was deeply disrespectful and all this stuff, fine. But I don't think they should go and take her tenure away. I think to some degree, tenure is a buyer beware situation also. If you're the man who gave her tenure, you probably feel a little stupid, maybe, I guess, and unless he agrees with her and was like, oh, great job, saw your tweet. Oh, good. Tack another 10 years at that. We're going to give you a raise from $100,000 a year to $105,000 a year. Maybe, if he's doing that. But other than that, I would guess maybe he feels stupid. To the best of my understanding, tenure is somewhat of a gamble. You want to lock somebody up, basically, from being a free agent. It's like baseball. You know, you sign Joe Mauer for 10 years and you hope he produces an academic body of work that's going to give a good name to the university and make the university more prestigious. And in this case, it certainly got Fresno State into the news, though I'm not sure it's in the way that they thought they were going to be when they offered this woman tenure to begin with. So we'll have to see. Again, I support her First Amendment right, just like I support everybody's First Amendment right. I believe she should be able to say whatever she wants. And I support the university's decision. Do I think it was cowardly to do it after Barbara Bush died? Yes. Do I think it was cowardly to put on your website, oh, I'm not talking about it after you said that, and, you know, put your Twitter locked so you couldn't see anything else? Do I think that all of that stuff is cowardly? Yes. You know, if you want to be this great impact difference maker and you want to make this bold free speech statement and you want to do it by, you know, dissing Barbara Bush after she dies, then at least have the stones to get out there on the news. Get out there today. Go on MSNBC today and talk about it. Go on Fox News today and talk about it. Sit face to face with fucking somebody like Tucker Carlson and try and explain this to Tucker Carlson. And just see if there's some give and take there. And then, you know, go talk to Chris Hayes about it too. Because my guess is people on the left probably think it's distasteful as well. Again, they might support her right to do it, just as I do. But certainly distasteful and certainly cowardly. But I guess that's what the internet's for. And we'll have to see where this goes. Hopefully we never talk about this again. But I did feel like at the end of the day today, I wanted to say my piece about it. With that being said, we're going to call it a day. But before we do, I just want to remind listeners again that today's podcast was brought to you by VPN.com. Do you use Facebook, Instagram, or WhatsApp? More than 2 billion people do. Unfortunately, the recent Cambridge Analytica data scandal has brought many issues to light about how Facebook uses your data and informs you when an issue arises. Since 2014, more than 2 billion Facebook profiles like yours and mine were scrapped by third parties. It says scrapped in the script, but I think what they're trying to say is scraped. Since 2014, more than 2 billion Facebook profiles like yours and mine were scraped by third parties without our permission on Facebook and then maliciously used against us. Thankfully, there are many efforts out there taking a stand for our privacy and how big companies respect our data. Organizations like VPN.com, that's VictorPaulNancy.com, have created campaigns entirely around the delete Facebook hashtag, one word, delete Facebook, to bring awareness to the reality of how our data is being used. In fact, they sent 6 huge hashtag delete Facebook box trucks to the U.S. Capitol and Facebook headquarters, along with arranging multiple protests to advocate for more privacy and protection for consumers all across the world. To learn more about how to delete your Facebook or to keep up with the protests, visit VPN, that's Victor Paul Nancy, VPN.com/Facebook today, and I will put a link to that in the show description. This is April 19th, 2018, and this was the Quote the Raven podcast number 22, and I will catch you guys later.
Peace!